The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
But I was sharing seven trees in the wilderness. And the purpose of this message is to help every one of us recognize that God, as we go through wilderness experience, and every one of us go through a wilderness experience, is there anybody in here who's never felt like they were in the wilderness before? Hallelujah. Okay, praise God. I'm among a bunch of truthful people. Hallelujah. We all go through that, don't we? We have some tough times in our lives. And you know, whether other people sometimes don't even know that we're going through a wilderness. And partly that's our fault. Sometimes we need to have, I think part of what we need to have is a group of people around us. We don't have to stand up in front of the whole church and say, help, I'm going through wilderness. But we need to have a group of people that we can confide in and we can share these things with, and that will support you and lift you up. You do not, listen, when you're going through a wilderness, the people at work are not the people to share this with. The people at the office are not the people to share it with. You women, you go, if you're working in an office someplace and you get around with your friends there and you start sharing your wilderness experience, you know what they're going to do? They're going to show sympathy, and they're going to say, oh, you poor thing. You know, if you get around a bunch of believers and you share your wilderness experience, they're going to encourage you with the Word of God and lift you up and help you instead of get down on the same level with you. You don't need somebody to wallow in the muck and the mire with you. You need somebody that will lift you up and encourage you.
That's right, sir.
Amen? All right. Well, we know that we're going to go through these times. And I believe in Isaiah chapter 41, God showed us that He has planted seven trees in the wilderness, that when we go through these wilderness experiences, that we will encounter these trees. And our response to those trees will determine the outcome of our situation. It will help us to be able to move from one tree to the next tree. Because you got to realize that a wilderness sometimes is a long trek. Sometimes that desert, you know, it's a huge desert that you got to walk through. But if you have something to look forward to in that desert experience, in that wilderness experience, knowing that you're going to come across one of these trees as you go through the experience, that encourages you to be able to keep on going. And you know that you're going to come to this oasis that will refresh you as you're in the wilderness. And that's what this message is all about. Knowing that God has these trees in the wilderness for you. In Proverbs chapter 18 verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. And that's what we've got to do, is run to the Lord. Now, we all know that these wilderness experiences, sometimes they're self-induced. How many have ever been in a situation where you caused it? I've been in more of those than the other kind, honestly. You know, I make stupid decisions. And it hurts. But you know, here's the good thing. Even if we have done wrong, if we repent, we ask God's help, He shows up. He's on our side. So, you know, we have to suffer some consequences. We have to deal with these issues, these things, but God is still on your side. You must realize it has absolutely nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what Jesus did on the cross for you. It's because of Him. You're not going to be good enough. There's no one sitting in here good enough to get to heaven. Tammy's close, but she hadn't quite made it. Not this week, she said. It's been tough. Amen. It's not by our works. I don't care how good you are. Don't even think that it's going to be that way. It's the blood of Jesus. It's redemptive power. And it's by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you that you're able to do it. So, it doesn't matter whether it's something self-induced or if it's just something beyond your control. Your God is still on your side. Your God is your God. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. And here's what we can rest in. Romans 8:28. I quote this all the time. For we know that all things work together for the good of them who know or love God and who are the called according to His purpose. All things work to our good. Doesn't mean that all things feel good. All things work to our good. So here's what we want to do. Is look at the seven trees. I'm going to just do a real quick review on the first two. But what I want you to see is when God is involved in a person's life, these trees are strategically planted in the wilderness by God for your benefit. And that's what we got to keep in mind. Isaiah 41, verse 17. The poor and the needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongue fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord, I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. See, he promises he's not going to forsake us. I will open rivers in desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys, and I will make the wilderness a pool of water. And the dry land springs in the dry, and the dry land springs of water. And here we go. And I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and the acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created this. Now I believe this is twofold. This is a prophetic utterance about Israel being planted back in their land. But it also has spiritual significance for anybody who is going through the wilderness. So any scripture that we are reading and we receive, you can get, no matter what it was pertained to originally, you can receive rhema for your life. God can speak directly to you through the Word of God so that you can receive it and it'll give you support and encouragement. The people of Israel were going through a wilderness time. They were about to be taken into exile at the point of this prophecy given to them. Now, I shared with you a couple weeks ago this little equation, experience plus reaction equals outcome. Your experience, many times you have no control over. The only thing you have control over is your reaction to it. And our reaction to our experience is very important. Very, very important. We have to be careful how we react. We have to be careful how we act and the things that we say. You know, this past week, and because of not just this past week, but some other things that we've been going through, I feel like we have been going through a wilderness experience. And Tammy asked me how I was feeling. And I said, I do not want to say how I'm feeling right now. I don't want to speak it. I don't want those things to come out of my, no matter how I'm feeling, I don't want it to come out of my mouth. It's too important. My words are powerful. There's life and death in my words. And the last thing I want to do is complain about my God. If I want Him to work on my behalf, I have to learn and grow in His Word and trust in His Word. You know, Joseph is a great example of this. Man, he went into all... He was sold into slavery. He had all kinds of difficulties time after time in prison. Finally ended up being second in command in Egypt. But when he stood before his brothers, he said to them, what you meant to be evil, God intended to be good. God intended that for good. Now, this is something that we don't like to talk about a whole lot in the kingdom of God and Christianity. And that is that no matter what is happening in our lives, God is in control. God either causes it or allows it. Do you hear that? Now, part of the problem is sometimes is that we do not recognize our authority in Christ and the power that we have been given to be able to stand against the enemy and not allow him to do certain things in our life. But God has given set up perimeters in this world, and he's given the enemy certain access, certain things that he's able to do. And as long as we allow it to happen, it can happen. And then there's other things that we have absolutely no control over. That's why we've got to rest in the fact that our God is in control. Joseph rested in the fact that God was in control in every circumstance that he went through. So we've got to recognize, learn from Joseph. Let's react the way Joseph reacted. Let's look at these trees. The first tree was the cedar tree. The cedar tells us that when we go through the wilderness, that we need to worship, because the throne of God, the throne of Solomon was built out of cedar. The temple, many of the parts of the tabernacle and the temple was built, or the temple items were built out of cedar. So we need to worship God because he is enthroned in the praises of his people. Psalms 22:3. The second tree was the acacia tree. It represents strength. The Word of God will give you strength. You need to run to the Word of God. Psalms 119, 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The third tree that we're going to encounter when we're going through the wilderness is the myrtle tree. It's a bushy structure. It has thick, shiny, dark green leaves. It blossoms with clusters of fragrant white flowers, and they mature into blue, black berries. Almost the entire tree has a fragrant, spicy oil smell to it. It was used for many, many years as perfumes. The ancients also found that the berries had healing properties in them. So they would eat those berries, even though they were fragrant. The Hebrew word for myrtle is Hadassah. And the Hebrew name for Esther, remember the story of Esther? Is Hadashah. Basically, her original name was Myrtle. The Hebrew word for myrtle is very significant because we know that Esther was the great savior of the Hebrew people during the time of the exile. To this very day, they have a memorial. Purim, which is the most joyous and fun-filled festival that they have in Israel. It commemorates the time when the Jewish people were delivered from the Persians, from the Persian decree that they could, the Jews could be exterminated. It's believed that the tree was brought back from Babylon by the returning exiles. So the myrtle became the symbol of rebirth of Israel. So when we go through the wilderness, I believe God planted the myrtle as a symbol of the redemptive power of Jesus Christ to remind us that we can run to that myrtle tree when we're in the wilderness and see that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that we are no longer part of this world, but we are saved through the grace of Jesus Christ, and that we have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, by the redemptive power of Jesus, we can stand against anything that the enemy can throw at us because of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. It's a fragrance. That when we recognize who we are in Christ, it's a fragrance that goes up to the nostrils of God. Because we are the redeemed of the Lord. In Luke chapter 1, verse 68, it says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." In Malachi 4:2, it says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." When we go through the wilderness, I believe that God wants you, he wants me, he wants all of us to know that Jesus is firmly planted in that wilderness with us. And what we need to do is run to him. Now here's the thing. Because you go through a wilderness experience, many times you have the desire to run away from God and run away from your relationship with Jesus rather than to run to him. That's a tactic of the enemy, is to try to separate us from our Lord and our Savior. To keep us, see, he never leaves us, but we have a tendency to leave him. You know, when Tammy and I were going together, she would always move over beside of me and, you know, close to me. She liked being close to me back then. But as we got older and we had children, you know how it goes. You've all been there. You probably, you know, the woman's clear over on the other side and you're on your side. It just happens. What? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, in a car, right? You know, it's talking about in a vehicle. Yeah, she just said I needed to clarify that. Sorry about that. You didn't know what I was talking about. Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about when we started dating, she would get in the car and she'd slide over close to me. But in our relationship with Jesus Christ, it kind of happens that way too, you know. We sometimes just, you know, Jesus is still there. He's right there, but we just kind of move away from him. And he wants us to run to him when we're in that wilderness experience. Make sure that we recognize the relationship and the importance of that relationship. There's a missionary by the name of Herbert Jackson who taught a missionary class, and he told the story about when he was a missionary in a foreign country, that he was a young man, and he went there, and they gave him a car that was that didn't start. So he devised this plan. He asked the local school if they would let the children come out in the mornings and push his car to get it started. And wherever he went, he either parked where he could, roll it down the hill, or somebody was there to push it. He did that for 2 years. And finally, he was moving on from there, and somebody else came to take that missionary spot. And this new guy, they started talking, and Herbert was telling the new missionary what he had been done. He was proud of his plan, of how he devised to be able to get that car going. And the other missionary said, "Well, hold on just a minute, Mr. Jackson." And he raised the hood, and he looked at it, and he saw that the battery terminal was loose. And he messed with it a little bit. It got in and it started right up. He had the power. He had the resource. He had the connection. It just wasn't tight. We need to keep it tight with the Lord. It can happen. And when we, particularly when we go through these wilderness experiences, we want it to be tight with the Lord. We want to stay close to him, not allow these things to separate us. Oil tree is the next one. It's actually the olive, because that's what they used in ancient Israel in ancient times to get most of their oil for all kinds of things, for cooking, for lights. They preserved leather with it. Most important, kings and priests were anointed with a certain mixture of oil that was that God gave them to anoint kings and priests with. a particular mixture of items that they were to put together. Now, here's what we need to make sure that everybody understands, that as a believer, according to God's word, we are His people and His called. In 1 Corinthians 1, 9 says this, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are called into the fellowship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And nothing can separate us from that. Olive oil represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of every believer, everyone who has received Christ as their personal Savior. This tree is also, it's very resilient. The oldest known olive trees in Israel have been scientifically dated to be over 3,000 years old. Every one of those trees still produce olives. But the resilience doesn't stop there. They're also very, very hardy. They, if they're burnt or cut down, new shoots shoot up from those roots. This speaks of the endurance of the gift and the calling that God has placed in your life and in my life. Romans 11, 29 says, for the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. You're not going to walk away from them. It is impossible to do. Many years ago, we had a minister that came, and we had a revival service, and there was great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and he was walking in the anointing of God, and there was great things that took place during that time. But not too long after that, I found out that that man had some issues in his life that I just couldn't accept having him back. But God used him during that time. Why was God using him? Because it's not about him.
That's right.
It wasn't about that man. It was about the power of God. Now, we like to think, well, it's the anointing or it's the charismatic personality of the individual. And if that's what it is, you need to just get away from those people. If it's all it is the personality, and that's what we've built most of the church on, is personality. When a strong personality rises up and begins to lead, then everybody wants to follow that until they find out that that person may or may not be who they thought they were. Look, it's more about the integrity of walking in the Spirit than it is about having a great personality. But praise God. Or even ability sometimes. We need to rely on the ability of the Holy Spirit in our life rather than our own ability. But as I said, and I'm not condemning that man. I want everybody to make sure that you understand. I don't condemn him. He got out of the ministry. He's not even in the ministry anymore. I hate that. I hate what the enemy did to his life. He truly was and still is an anointed man of God. You may question that, but I can tell you he still is an anointed man of God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And to bring healing to the body of Christ. The enemy has been able to infiltrate his life and separate him from the things of God. But it's about the power of God. So we need to recognize that it's always about the Spirit of God and the power of God. You produce fruit in your life, not because of your strength, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by your strength or by your might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what the Lord says. Okay, after you've gone to the cedar to worship, the acacia to get strength, the myrtle to be reminded that you've been redeemed, the olive to rest in your calling and your anointing, you come to the cypress tree. The Bible tells us that God instructed Noah to build the ark from the gopher wood, and that most Bible scholars believe that was another name for the cypress tree. It's a tall, massive evergreen cypress. The wood of the cypress is highly prized. It's used for all kinds of things, construction of ships, floors, doors, even lances, musical instruments. The massive doors of the temple were made of the cypress tree. So the cypress, to me, speaks of endurance and the fragrance it sends to God when His people endure through the wilderness. When we recognize that we can endure because God is with us. James 1:3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Whether we like it or not, our faith is tried. God tries our faith, and He does so to make us stronger. So that we can grow up and become better equipped to accomplish what He wants us to do. So we need to run to this cypress and hold on patiently with the strength that God gives us. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The Hebrew word redeem, rendered cypress, means to loom up high. When you rely on God, your strength will come from Him and you can loom up high. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is God's promise to you and to me, to all of us. Find God's promises for you. And His Word. Get into His Word and find a revelation where He speaks directly to you from His Word. A promise that you can hold on to. A few weeks ago we had a statement on our sign out here that said, God's promises are voice activated. Believe it or not, they really are. You know, in this day and age of iPhones and that you can talk to, I'm amazed sometimes. You know, I can say, call Pastor Otis. And sometimes it gets a little confused. Its mind doesn't work exactly like it should. But most of the time, if I say, call Pastor Otis, it comes back and says, calling Pastor Otis. It's incredible. It's voice activated. But the promise of God have always been voice activated. He tells us in his word that what we should do is get His word and speak His word in every circumstance and situation that we go through. Therefore, we are speaking, we are activating the promises of God in our life. So isn't that incredible that we can voice activate those promises that God has for us? Number six is a pine. There's two species of pine that are plentiful in Lebanon and flourish in most parts of Palestine. These are the stone pine and alpine pine. The pine is extensively used to protect from the weather. It's used on ships and houses. It protects and it's associated with... Also with protecting from the weather, you know, if you have large pines, they protect from wind and cold. The needles fall and they protect their roots. So the pine speaks to us about protection. It also speaks to us that pine nuts of the pine are edible. And they're greatly valued. These pines are greatly valued as ornamental trees planted in gardens, parks around the world. Has anybody ever seen what they call the bonsai trees? Most of us watched The Karate Kid, right? So we somewhere along the line. And that was those little trees that they cut and shape. They look like full-grown trees. Well, this is the kind of pine that they use for that. They're greatly prized to shape and mold them into a specific way. To make them look like large trees in a miniature size. When we arrive at the pine, we begin to recognize that there's new fruit being produced inside of us. The new person that we have become in Jesus Christ. You're a new creature in Christ. And that pine speaks of, although the purpose of going through the wilderness is for this, is to bring us to a place where we're producing more fruit in our life. This past week, I happened to hear I think it's an older song by Tim McGraw. I don't know much about Tim McGraw. I know that he was Tug McGraw's son, who was a baseball player, and he's a country music singer. But I happened to hear these lyrics, so I wanted to find out what he was saying in this song. And song goes like this, just part of it. It says, I can finally stand the man in the mirror I see. I ain't as good as I'm going to get, but I'm better than I used to be. There's a lot of truth in that. As Christians, we're not as good as we're going to get. Hallelujah. One day we're going to be perfect. There's going to be perfection in us. But right now, we are a work in progress. And we're not as good as we're going to get. But if we keep striving and moving forward, if we go through these wilderness experiences and we rely on God, we're going to be better than we used to be. Every day should be a day of becoming better than you used to be. That's what God desires for us. The last tree is the box tree. It's called the Asher tree in Scripture. The box tree is renowned for its beauty. It has evergreen foliage, and for the unity of its utility of its hard and durable wood. The box tree was one of those trees that's mentioned as the glory of Lebanon. It has small, glossy foliage and grows about 20 feet high. The Hebrews called it the Tesher tree. The wood in the box tree is highly prized for engraving. They engrave pictures and things in the wood because it's so hard and it will last for such a long time. This speaks to us about going through the wilderness. And when we come out on the other side of the wilderness, the purpose is to make and create in us a greater image of Christ. He's engraving in us who we are and who we should be in Him. And that we can become a greater believer, a greater example to the world of who Jesus Christ is. It's the image that He's trying to produce inside of us. That's what this is all about. He is our example. And we're to walk in this life, and we're to learn and grow and become more like Him every day of our life. That's part of what this is all about, the box tree. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. New Living Translation says it like this, and all of us have had the veil removed so that we can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord. And as the Spirit of the Lord works in us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory even more. That's why the wilderness can be one of the best things that ever happened to you. Because it can create in you a greater image of Jesus Christ. I've gone through some wilderness times in my life. In fact, I feel like that we're going through some wilderness right now in our life. Various things that's going on. And what I'm speaking to you this morning, these trees in the wilderness, it comes right out of my own experience and how I know that we can run to these things and receive from the Lord and walk through the wilderness and go from one tree to the next. Even though we're going through a wilderness experience, our God is there for us and He has planted these trees so that we can have refreshment and encouragement for us. Brendan Manning said, it is always true to some extent that we make our image of God. it is even truer that our image of God makes us. So eventually, we become like the God we image. I think there's some truth to that. I think we need to make sure we have the right image of God. When we go through the wilderness, if we don't have the proper image of God, we'll become something that we don't want to be. We've got to have that image. And we've got to recognize the image of God, the proper image, comes from His Word. I don't know if you have an opportunity to talk to very many people who are not churched. It's not even gone to church before. And many who have gone to church. You start talking to them about God, their image of God is so far off from the Bible. It is incredible. Their thoughts about God, their thoughts about what He will what He wants to accomplish in this earth and how He interacts with people, it's off base because it's not based in the solid Word of God. So the image that people have of God many times is way, way off. And that's where we come in. We're supposed to have the proper image. We're supposed to be living that image of Christ before people on a regular basis, on a daily basis. And we're supposed to be examples to this lost and dying world of what God wants people to become. We're not going to be perfect, but we can certainly be the example. We can be a greater image of Christ to this world than I think we are right now. But we've got to do it. We've got to live it. And we've got to speak it. We've got to be it. Stand with me.
Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.